talking about Facebook and efforts for political ad transparency here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Back in December, we learned through a Senate report that Russia used every major social media platform in an attempt to interfere with the 2016 election. In the wake of this, Facebook launched a new structure for political ads, and a number of third-party organizations created tools to help people see how Facebook users were targeted by advertising. But those tracking tools that allowed users to share data from political ads they see on Facebook, those plugins, they no longer work. What have you noticed about the political ads you see on Facebook? Did you participate in ProPublica's project to gather information about targeted Facebook ads? What did you learn? Do you think information about the way Facebook sells ad spots should be publicly available, or does it even matter to you that Facebook targets its ads toward you? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jeremy Merrill is a journalist focusing on machine learning at Quartz. Previously, he was a news apps developer at ProPublica, where he was the lead journalist on a project tracking targeted political ads on Facebook. Jeremy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So ProPublica and other organizations, including the web developer Mozilla, set up tools to create some transparency around targeted political ads on Facebook. Can you tell us about what ProPublica created in its tool?
Sure. So we ran a project, we're still running it. It's called the Facebook Political Ad Collector. And what it does is pretty simple. If you install it, you'll send the ads that you see on Facebook and Facebook's explanation of why you saw them to our database without any sort of personal information, just the ads. And we publish a database of the political ads. The thing that's really sort of shocking, once you spend many months staring at all these political ads as I did, is that they really differ a lot on the basis of gender and age, the companies that you interact with, and of course, by your political ideology. We found that well over 70% of all the political ads that we saw before the midterm elections were highly targeted by ideology, in the sense that those ads were seen by at least four people who were liberal to each conservative who saw it, or vice versa. And it's the sort of thing where your sense of politics, if you're seeing a lot of these ads, is going to be different than someone who's on the other side, because you're just seeing people talk about totally different issues.
And so last month, Facebook blocked ProPublica's ad monitoring tool, and it blocked other organizations' efforts as well. Has ProPublica's tool been completely blocked? What's its status? Is it still functioning?
It's only partially functioning. We're still collecting some of the ads themselves. But one of the most important pieces of data that we can gather from these ads is the explanation that Facebook gives of the choices that the advertiser made in asking Facebook who they should show the ad to. So if you're an advertiser, you might say, and suppose you are a conservative, you're a Republican candidate or a right-leaning interest group, you might say, hey, Facebook, I want you to show this ad about lowering car emission standards, let's say, just to men who are over 40 and who are Republicans or conservatives or like Sean Hannity, for instance. And it's really important, if you want to understand this ad and understand the political strategy that this group is using, to know that they made those choices. And that our ability to gather that information, the ability for our participants in this project to send us that information has been limited, has been turned off, has been blocked by Facebook.
So what are the risks of not knowing this information? What can we learn from knowing exactly how we're being targeted based on things like race, political persuasion, age, religion?
Well, there's the risk that the sorts of issues that I'm thinking about in terms of politics are going to be different from the ones that you're thinking about, because you're just seeing a whole different set of persuasive messages. We know that A lot of political messaging is geared towards each party's base. This is because it's really hard to get someone who doesn't care a lot about politics to turn out. It's also really hard to get someone to switch their political views. And so political groups tend to focus on people who they think are already predisposed to vote for them or to support them. But what that means is that if you're not plugged into a really politically diverse set of people, you're not going to know what the issues are, the issues of the day are in our politics. And that can be kind of worrying for a democracy where we're supposed to be, figuring out these issues as we the people on a regular basis. And not to mention, if somebody, whether it's an American, political consultant who is engaging in sort of dirty tricks, or worse, sort of foreign meddling, like we saw in 2016, we know that people are going to try to finally target their messages for a particular purpose. We know that the Russian agents who were meddling in the 2016 election did a pretty good job of targeting just racial minorities or just conservatives for their messages, trying to divide people and sort of foment discontent. We know that the Russian ads were targeted, for instance, to people who were interested in the African American civil rights movement. Targeting racial minorities.
We're talking about Facebook's response to political ad monitoring and groups that are working for more transparency in how people are targeted for these ads. Jeremy Merrill is a journalist focusing on machine learning at Quartz. You can enter the discussion at 800-642-1234. Do you think information about the way Facebook sells ad spots should be publicly available, or is this level of monitoring and openness over the top? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jeremy, let's look at the Honest Ads Act that would require more information to the public. How could federal legislation impact political ads on social media platforms?
That's a good question. The Honest Ads Act was a bill that was introduced, but it didn't pass in the last Congress. And I'm told it's going to be introduced again sometime fairly soon in the current Congress. That bill would have required, it would have imposed some actual rules on online political advertising. Believe it or not, there are stricter rules for political ads on TV or radio that don't apply to online ads, even though online ads are a really growing piece of the sort of campaign landscape. It required the platforms, Twitter, Google, Facebook, folks like that, to maintain a database of the ads, which some of them are already doing right now, as well as telling you who actually paid for the ad and the a description of the audience that was targeted by the ad, so that people can, journalists, activists, the general public can look through these and see, what is the candidate who's talking to me saying to people who are different than me? What is a candidate who I'm not hearing from saying?
Is there any way of knowing who's actually purchasing these ads, knowing exactly the origin?
It's actually really tough because, there are sort of fewer regulations on the internet right now for political ads, and because even though Facebook, and Facebook in particular, says that they're going to tell you who's paying for political ads. If you saw political ads before the midterms, you might recall seeing political ads that say paid for by some group or some candidate. It might say, paid for by Tony Evers for governor. The thing is, though, based on some reporting that I did in October, Facebook actually isn't really checking who's paying for the ads. They have a box and the advertiser can fill it in. But Facebook doesn't check that they're telling the truth. They said that wouldn't be scalable. And so what that means is that there are groups there that don't exist. There were some ads paid for by a group called America Progress Now that was, we learned from the targeting information, was targeting just people who were very liberal across the Midwest, including in Wisconsin, and telling those folks to go and vote for Green Party candidates. Trick is, the Green Party didn't know who, had never heard of this group. The name America Progress Now wasn't registered with the Federal Election Commission. It wasn't the legal name of a corporation. They listed an address in the Bronx in New York City. I reported the story with William Turton of Vice News. He went to their address, and nobody at the building had ever heard of the group. So we have no idea who they were. Facebook says it's paid for by America Progress Now, but that doesn't mean anything.
So why can't the political ads we see on social media platforms have the same types of rules that govern TV and radio political ads?
Something approximately like that is what the Honest Ads Act would do. But right now, for sort of obscure historical reasons, there just aren't as strict laws on online ads.
We're talking with journalist Jeremy Merrill about tools created to monitor how users are being targeted by political ads on Facebook. Facebook made changes so these plugins wouldn't work as well or at all, and instead launched its own tracking and transparency mechanisms, including this weekly ad archive report. Do you worry about Facebook? Have you stopped using it or limited your use since it's been in the news? Or do you think this level of transparency is overreaction? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email it to ideas@wpr.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll get back to the conversation with Jeremy Merrill in a minute here on the Ideas Network. Talking about how Facebook is blocking tools that monitor who buys ads that target you. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Facebook says its latest site update was intended to stay ahead of ad blockers and to tighten security, and it announced last week it'll launch a set of transparency tools on political ads by the end of June. What have you noticed about the political ads you get on Facebook? Did you participate in ProPublica's project to gather information about targeted Facebook ads? What did you learn? We're at 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jeremy Merrill is a journalist focusing on machine learning at Quartz. He was formerly a news app developer at ProPublica, working on the ground on this project tracking targeted political ads on Facebook. Let's go to the phones now with Ben joining us from Madison. Hi, Ben.
Good morning. I wanted to comment. I work as the marketing person for a bike shop, and we use Facebook very effectively to target people who are interested in bikes and cycling and fitness and so forth. It's a wonderful platform for that. It's amazingly powerful, like nothing else that has ever existed. It's wonderful for us. The downside is that Facebook, as your guest and many other writers and reporters have described, is terrible at transparency. They have terrible ethics. They keep saying they'll do better, and they don't. And meanwhile, so many people are using it so happily, oblivious to the invasion of privacy and what it's doing to democracy. It's really a terrible thing. I don't see that stuff changing with the power that it offers to marketers.
Well, Ben,
for good or evil.
Ben, what could Facebook do to reform itself? How could it improve its transparency?
I don't think it will do this, but in an ideal world, they would hire a board of privacy experts and other folks, give those folks power to audit the company. They need someone to watch the watchers, and they would do this publicly and transparently and then hold themselves accountable to whatever this group decides they ought to do in terms of privacy.
Jeremy, Ben is saying that Facebook is amazingly powerful for a bike shop, but it's got a lot of issues.
I think Ben's right. That's one of the reasons why transparency around political ads is so important, is because it is so powerful. Rather than sort of vaguely targeting the, if you want to reach seniors, Traditionally, you might target, you know, game shows that are on during the day. But, you know, on the one hand, everybody can watch that, which means it's got great transparency. On the other hand, you're not speaking directly, precisely to your audience if you're a political marketer. Just like Ben's Bike Shop can talk directly to cycling hobbyists, which is totally fine and great. It means that political marketers can target, you know, small slivers of the American public in a way that can be totally fine or can be kind of worrying.
So what explanation has Facebook given for blocking these monitoring tools? How has the company responded?
Well, they told us that this was a, you know, as you said, to block ad blockers. But they didn't give me examples when I asked them of which ad blockers they were going after in particular, because the specifics can get kind of in the weeds, but the exact specific thing they did interfered with a button that we use to gather this targeting information, and I'm not aware of, and they wouldn't give me an example of an ad blocker that uses that button. So their explanation was a little bit confusing. And they also said, oh, the database of ads that we publish is what we encourage you to use instead of our own tool. The thing is that the database that they've published is insufficient in a couple of ways, including sort of the most glaring one, is that it's just missing a lot of political ads. These aren't sort of gray area things. It's just ads from the NRA or ads calling for healthcare reform, ads about civil rights, we've found aren't included in their archive, kind of mysteriously.
Well, so its archive, as of yesterday, had nearly 2.7 million ads in the archive with expenditures of $468 million. And this is not a one-off report. This comes out weekly. So can you look at that breakdown of how much a group spent and that level of transparency? What is it not telling you?
It's not telling you a lot of things. It's missing ads. The people who it says paid for ads, as we were talking about before the break, sometimes isn't right. And most importantly, it doesn't let you see, and it doesn't let you sort of query the database by who was targeted to see an ad. If you wanted to see who is showing ads just to racial minorities or just to seniors, you wouldn't be able to do that on Facebook's database. You can do it on ours when it works. What's more, it's also missing ads that are not political, which can also be the site of trouble. We found ads where people who were hiring for jobs asked Facebook, hey, Facebook, you know, show this ad for a job just to men. No joke, one of these ads was for work in a sausage factory. And that's a thing that Facebook says this is against the rules, but it still happened. And this is something that's the subject of a legal action in front of the EEOC right now.
So where does Facebook go from here? Because it announced on Twitter last week that it's coming out with new transparency tools by the end of June. So in the first half of this year, there'll be new transparency tools around political ads. What are you expecting?
Well, it's hard to imagine that they will be better at detecting political ads in other countries than they are here in the United States. Based on our reporting, we found that they've missed a lot. They're missing a lot of stuff in the United States. Their database doesn't answer all the questions that we need it to. And right now, there are elections that are ongoing in Ukraine, Israel, Guatemala, Canada's coming up, and in the European Union. And right now, if it were not for third-party transparency tools like ours, and since ours aren't fully working, folks in those countries are left completely in the dark.
So what can Facebook users here in the States who are concerned about political ads and the targeting, what can they do?
Well, if you want, you can participate in our project. Just Google Facebook Political Ad Collector and ProPublica. But you can also talk to your friends, talk to your elected officials about what your opinion is, because at the end of the day, we live in a democracy, and the people get to decide how political ads work in our country.
But at the end of the day, lots of people are on Facebook for a whole host of reasons. It's really a communication lifeline.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying people have to quit Facebook. People have all sorts of great reasons to be on Facebook. But they should make sure folks are aware of how the platform works for political ads and for non-political ads, as Ben was saying about privacy. The more people understand, the better decisions they'll be able to make.
You've moved away from ProPublica, but what is the next step for third-party developers as they monitor transparency at Facebook and other social media platforms?
Well, I know that I am, and some of these other third-party tools, folks are still working hard to find a way around this to make sure that we can provide this really essential transparency.
So, like, new tools coming out there? I mean, so if Facebook shuts down a particular plugin, do you work on a different one? Or how, you know, it sounds like there's a little bit of back and forth here on the technology side.
There absolutely is. You're right. A lot of back and forth about, you know, they change something and we change our plugin to match it. I'm really hopeful that pretty soon I'll be able to get the same plugin we've been using. I'll be able to get it back up and running again. I just haven't, you know, I was working on it last night. Haven't found a solution yet.
So it is certainly a work in progress. Well, Jeremy, thank you for joining us and explaining.
Yeah, thank you all for having me on.
Jeremy Merrill is a journalist focusing on machine learning at Quartz. Previously, he was a news apps developer at ProPublica, where he was the lead journalist on a project tracking targeted political ads on Facebook. Just ahead, Jim Leary, our guest, was nominated for a Grammy for writing the album notes for Alpine Dreaming, the Helvetia Records story. We're talking about America's first Swiss record label here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.